Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Booker T. Washington Classics Collection brings together three major works by one of the most influential African-American educators and public thinkers of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Up From Slavery is Washington's autobiography, tracing his life from enslavement in Virginia to his leadership at Tuskegee Institute. Character Building gathers addresses that emphasize discipline, honesty, work habits, and social responsibility. Putting the Most into Life develops a practical philosophy of using opportunity, effort, and moral purpose to shape individual progress. Read as a collection. These works combine memoir, educational theory, moral instruction, and social commentary. Their purpose is not only to recount Washington's personal ascent, but also to explain his belief that education, vocational competence, economic self-reliance, and character formation could advance Black life in the post-Reconstruction United States. The collection is historically important because it presents Washington's ideas in his own voice, including both their practical force and their debated limitations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the autobiography as a model of self-making after slavery. Up From Slavery gives the collection its historical foundation by presenting Washington's life as a movement from bondage to public leadership. The narrative does more than describe hardship. It organizes personal memory around the disciplined acquisition of knowledge, labor skills, and social trust. Washington portrays education not as an abstract privilege, but as a practical route out of dependency. His account of pursuing schooling, working to support himself, and eventually leading Tuskegee Institute frames individual development as inseparable from institutional responsibility. This makes the autobiography different from a simple success narrative. It is also a public argument about what formerly enslaved people needed in the decades after emancipation. Washington emphasizes thrift, reliability, cleanliness, punctuality, and competence because he believed these traits could help Black communities gain economic footing in a hostile social order. Modern readers may question the political caution in this framework, but the memoir remains valuable for showing how one major Black leader interpreted freedom, education, and advancement in the post-war South. Secondly, industrial education as a strategy for economic independence. A central idea across the collection is Washington's defense of practical and industrial education. He argued that training in agriculture, trades, domestic economy, and business habits could give African Americans a stronger material base in a society that denied them equal access to wealth and status. This view is closely connected to Tuskegee Institute, where education was designed to combine classroom instruction with productive labor. Washington did not treat manual work as inferior to intellectual work. Instead, he presented skilled labor as a way to convert necessity into leverage. A person or community that can produce useful goods and services becomes harder to dismiss. The reasoning is pragmatic. Political rights and social recognition, in his view, required economic stability and visible usefulness. This position made Washington influential among donors, educators, and some Black communities seeking immediate survival strategies. It also drew criticism from contemporaries who believed his program placed too little emphasis on higher liberal education and direct civil rights agitation. Thirdly, character formation as the basis of public and private conduct. Character Building expands the collection beyond autobiography by showing Washington as a moral instructor. The speeches emphasize habits that he considered essential to personal credibility: honesty, patience, self-control, reliability, cleanliness, respect for work, and responsibility toward others. These themes may sound conventional, but Washington gives them a social purpose. For people emerging from slavery and facing racial prejudice, character was not merely private virtue. It was a resource for building institutions, earning trust, and sustaining community life. He repeatedly links moral conduct to practical outcomes in work, business, education, and leadership. The book also reflects the public speaking culture of its time, in which educators often used sermons, lectures, and commencement addresses to shape students' conduct. Washington's moral language can appear strict to modern readers, especially where it emphasizes self-discipline under unjust conditions. Yet its importance lies in how it connects personal behavior to collective advancement. He saw character as infrastructure, something communities had to cultivate before lasting progress could be secured. Fourthly, making the most of limited opportunity through disciplined effort. Putting the Most into Life develops Washington's practical philosophy of opportunity. Rather than presenting life as governed only by talent or circumstance, he stresses the importance of using available conditions fully. The argument fits his broader educational outlook. Progress depends on attention to ordinary duties, steady improvement, and the refusal to waste time or ability. Washington's emphasis is not on sudden transformation, but on cumulative effort. A student learns a trade, a worker becomes dependable, a teacher strengthens a school, and a community gradually increases its independence. This outlook was shaped by the realities of Black life in the South, where large ambitions often had to be pursued through constrained means. The value of the text is its focus on agency without denying difficulty. At the same time, the approach has limits. By concentrating on individual effort and local improvement, it can understate the structural barriers created by segregation, disfranchisement, and racial violence. The book is therefore most useful when read as a philosophy of disciplined action within constraint. Lastly, the historical debate over gradualism and accommodation. The collection cannot be fully understood without recognizing the controversy surrounding Washington's public philosophy. He is often associated with gradualism, economic self-help, and a cautious approach to direct political confrontation. In his era, this strategy gained support from many white philanthropists and some Black leaders who believe vocational training and economic development were the most practical immediate goals. However, critics such as W.E.B. Du Bois argued that Washington's approach risked accepting segregation and weakening the demand for full citizenship, voting rights, and higher education. This debate does not make the collection obsolete. It makes it more historically revealing. The works show how Washington tried to navigate a violent and unequal society while building schools, attracting resources, and encouraging Black economic resilience. Readers should therefore approach the collection as both instruction and historical document. Its advice on work, education, and character remains concrete, but its political assumptions require careful examination. The tension between practical advancement and rights-based protest is one of the collection's most important intellectual features. In conclusion, this collection is best suited for readers interested in African-American history, educational thought, leadership, self-culture, and the intellectual conflicts of the post-Reconstruction United States. Students and general readers will gain a direct view of Washington's life and ideas, while teachers and researchers can use the volume to examine how autobiography, public speech, and moral instruction work together in his program for racial advancement. Its practical benefit lies in its sustained attention to discipline, vocational competence, institutional building, and the ethical use of opportunity. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing the strengths and limits of a philosophy that emphasized economic self-reliance under conditions of racial oppression. Compared with single-volume editions of Up From Slavery, this collection stands out because it places the famous autobiography beside Washington's instructional and philosophical writings. That broader arrangement helps readers see him not only as a memoirist, but also as an educator, institution builder, and public moralist. It is not the only perspective on Black freedom, and it should be read alongside more confrontational voices of the era. Still, it remains a significant primary source for understanding one influential strategy for survival, advancement, and leadership in a deeply unequal America. If you would like to support Booker T. Washington, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.